here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine with David and Neil and John as well. And our next guest is Maxwell Grattan from the Queer Film Festival. Welcome, Maxwell.
Delighted to be on the show.
Right. Well, it's our pleasure to have you. So you are the new executive director of the Queer Film Festival.
No, that's absolutely correct. I started early in November and previously working in sports administration. So it's the first time I've worked in the arts and very much looking forward to the challenge.
Right, okay. So is this a departure for Queer Film Festival to have somebody that's not within the, you know, like the film industry?
Yeah, no, look, from what I can gather is that, you know, the MQFF, the terrific organisation, you know, that it is, has, you know, engaged me there to, as someone who does have an appreciation for film and the arts, to be able to, how could we say, further, you know, develop the commercial side of the org. And, you know, there's just so much to work with, and it's such a terrific organisation.
Yeah. Let's go back before we go forward with what you're going to be doing there. So what is your background? You know, like, give us a bit of a history of you, because so many people that listen to the show are big film buffs and go to and buy multiple tickets to when the festival's on. So give us your background so they know, get to know who you are.
Oh, look, absolutely. And so, you know, look, I'll have to say, look, as much as I appreciate film and I do love it and the sociological elements of it and how we can, you know, build people, places and communities up, my background professionally very much is one of sport business and and commercial. So I started off my career doing a little bit of work at the Northern Bullands Football Club years ago, and then found myself over at Tennis Australia, then Football Federation Victoria for my first stint. I then left the FFV and I thought my time had finished in sport. I remember working for Confidelgo Cab Charge and in public transport there for a little while. You know, destiny have it, I got called back into sport to be chief executive officer of Basketball ACT. So moved interstate for the first time in my life, and then came back home to be chief executive officer of Football Federation Victoria. And
Football as in soccer?
Soccer football, right. That's correct. The beautiful game. And
hold on, AFL. Watch it, bud. I'm an AFL fan.
Look, as a Melbournean, you know, the AFL will always have a special place in my heart. But I do thank the people in football for, you know, the opportunity there as well. And when I was with my, you know, then partner, Chris, a few months ago, and we were at MIF, I, you know, just sort of serendipitously wondered if, you know, the MQFF role would ever sort of come up, and it sort of did. I applied for it, and, you know, here I am.
Right.
I beg the question then, after all these years in sports administration, Maxwell, what made you even think or look at you know, film and queer film as well?
Okay, look, firstly, I've always been someone who's been motivated to make a difference and to try to leave an impact. And I believe I've done that for the LGBTIQ communities in sport. My time at Basketball ACT, I'm very proud to say we're the first state sport governing body to sign up to Pride in Sport.
Excellent.
And also, you know, at Football Federation Victoria earlier in the year, I was recognised as Australia's first openly gay male chief executive officer in sports administration. And likewise, we'd sign up in Pride in Sport and did quite a lot of initiatives.
How did, you know, like, this is totally off mm-hmm. the track here, but it's such an important question, is how did that organisation accept you? Was it open to, you know, because I look at, you know, the soccer crowds, I'm going to call it soccer, you know, like, they're not a very accepting crowd, and, you know, like, and they can be often quite violent and stuff, can't they? Was it quite accepting of you when you were out in that arena?
Absolutely. You know, the football crowd was nothing but welcoming, nothing but supportive. And, you know, my experience in it is that there's a lot of passion in the game, as, you know, you've definitely pointed out. And, you know, there's nuances. And, you know, it is a game that reaches to all walks of life and all corners of society. So at the end of the day, you will get a breadth and depth of, you know, diversity there. But let me tell you this, when I'd actually walked down the red carpet with my then boyfriend, Chris Murnane, you know, I was posting it on social media, on the Facebooks and the LinkedIns and so forth. Even before I got to Twitter, my president had already retweeted it. So,
Wow.
Yeah, terrifically supportive. And even at basketball as well, in equal measure, they were nothing but supportive and very much empowering, you know, within the organization, but also from, you know, people out in clubland and in stakeholders in general.
Right. Okay. So, We know with Queer Film Festival that they've often struggled, you know, like financially, you know, even though, as I said earlier in the interview, is that people are really supportive and will buy multiple tickets. And, you know, like I know so many people that they take their holidays so they can fit in as many films as they can during the festival. How can we make it, and how are you going to make it? And you obviously need our support as in the general public going. How can we get it to that stage where you don't have, you know, like there isn't that money problem?
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, let me firstly go out there and say thank you to the community for the support of the MQFF over the years. In my interactions with many stakeholders and sponsors, you can tell there's a real affection for the festival. And there's a real love for it, and it's
absolutely
such a significant part of Melbourne's, you know, cultural calendar, particularly in terms of, you know, LGBTIQ, you know, identifying, you know, people. And that for me was one of the appeals to come to it. You know, you asked me earlier on what the appeal was, and in a manner somewhat similar to sport, it's, you know, I saw sport as a vehicle that could help build people, places and communities up. I was always very interested in the sociological aspect of sport, and in a manner somewhat similar, that is the same for the Melbourne Queer Film Festival there, how film, you know, gives people identities, how it gives people meanings, how it challenges, entertains, engages its audiences. So first and foremost, I thank, you know, everyone for their, you know, for their support over the years, and definitely make sure you don't just buy lots of tickets, buy even more tickets next year between the 15th and the 26th of March when the film festival is on in 2018. But I suppose, you know, coming from an outside perspective and having built, you know, organisations, particularly within a sporting context and having commercialised them, increase revenues. It's some of those transferable skills and those, you know, similar intricacies that I'm, you know, going to implore here at the film festival to try to ensure that, you know, we underpin its sustainability, not just in the short term, but in the long term.
Yep.
So for generations to come, people will be able to, you know, appreciate, you know, what it is that we have to offer.
Yeah. And the other side of it is, you know, it is a creative, artistic arena that you've got to be careful that it's not, you know, like, you know, you're going out there flogging it. You've got to do it in a way that you're not going to harm your audience as well, aren't you?
Yeah, no, most definitely. There, for me, I suppose it's also a bit of challenge, a little bit more of, you know, left brain thinking what I've been used to in the past, I suppose, working more that commercial, you know, corporate, you know, environment. But can I say the people are wonderful so far that I've, you know, come, you know, to engage with. You know, and look, I have to admit at the start there was, you know, I suppose when you do new things, there's always a level of trepidation as you go through it. But as, you know, time, you know, continues to wind on, I'm, you know, I can feel the love and the enthusiasm that people very much have for it. And as you say, it's also a different approach. It's not just, you know, an offering. It's how we engage with people, how we, you know, how people relate to us and how we mean something to them as well. So there is that difference.
And when the festival's on and the lead up, as in, you know, like, Midsummer Carnival Day, for instance, where you'll have a stall there, is that it's a lot of it's run by volunteers.
Absolutely. And you know, that's the a real beautiful thing about, you know, MQFF. I know having worked in sport is underpinned by volunteers in terms of it, you know, operating, notwithstanding it has a little bit more resources in terms of paid staff. But the MQFF is very much the backbone of it is, particularly once the festival is running. We have over 100 wonderful volunteers that just keep coming back every year and supporting us. We just simply, you know, couldn't do it without them. And, you know, their passion and their enthusiasm is infectious and something I admire and I'm very grateful for.
And sorry, Maxwell, I wanted to ask you as well. Now, David mentioned before earlier on about the sustainability, I suppose, of mm-hmm. the organization, you know, the fact that you have support, but maybe not necessarily the finance, you know, the finances all the time. Are you hoping to bring some of those commercial skills from your previous experience in organizations to the MQFF? And how do you see that sort of mixing with what David said about the artistic side of it all as well? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, look, absolutely. I'm happy to say that, you know, the MQFF is, you know, in a solid position, but it's, you know, it's a process of further building on that and further, you know, solidifying that for the, you know, for the times ahead. I think it's, you know, underpinning its sustainability is, you know, I suppose looking at it long term rather than looking at it simply as a, you know, something that happens once a year and base our operations around that, notwithstanding the fact it currently happens once a year. You know, the relationships we have, can we enter into longer term relationships? Can we try to, you know, nurture, you know, different initiatives from year to year as opposed to, you know, every cycle that comes around, we re-engage people. But I suppose it's also about, you know, thinking outside the square. And I'm just, you know, putting this out there. There's definitely no commitment to this right now. But notwithstanding at the moment that it's, you know, something that we have, you know, once a year, do we further expand our reach and our support of regional areas, you know, and try to support them? Well, could there be...
Yeah, there is one in Ballarat, isn't there?
There's one in Bendigo.
Bendigo, of correct. Course it is, yeah.
You know, to sort of spread out there. And, you know, that would not only potentially be other, you know, revenue sources, but it could also be, you know, one way we can underpin our accessibility, because we are a festival and an offering that needs to be accessible to to as many people as possible as well.
Yeah. The film industry these days is so much more accepting of our community, and your major sort of the big brother being the Melbourne Film Festival, mm-hmm. they actually play a lot of queer films these days, don't they? And so therefore they often are taking away from, and you know, like a lot of our audience are going to those films because they're getting them before they're even released in cinemas here. Is that a problem, or is that a good thing to happen because, you know, like it's making the queer community a lot more accessible to the general public?
From to answer your latter point first, I think it's good from the perspective that, you know, LGBTIQ lives and perspectives are getting on screen more often. Sure. And we're continuing to progress the acceptance and the celebratory nature of diversity. So from that perspective, it's definitely terrific. I suppose from an MQFF perspective, what it shows is that, you know, we need to continue to be innovative. We need to continue to find new ways to continue to engage our audience and enhance offerings that we currently have. I think the unique thing that we will always have is that we are, you know, for LGBTIQ, you know, audiences. And while we would love to, and we will be working towards getting more straight allies and others to, you know, to participate and to see our films, you also do underpin the challenge there in the times ahead of our need to be innovative and to also generate other forms of revenue to ensure that we are here for many more years to come.
There's a couple of people who choose the films, isn't there?
Spiro, our program director, does the majority of the program.
Right, okay. Brilliant person.
Absolutely.
You know, like his knowledge of film, and he's a flair with it as well. You know, like he's such an interesting person, isn't he?
Yeah, no, absolutely. He, you know, you can tell when he talks about the movies and the exciting programming that's coming up, next year, there's a real underpinning passion, you know, in there. You probably could ask him about the finest detail or intricacy of a film, and he would know, so don't ask me any. So in there, haven't got my head around to that same extent yet in the 5 or so weeks I've, been here. But, there's going to be a very strong, lineup next year.
Now, it's been a case in the last few years because of the digital world we live in, is that a lot of the films are sent to you as a download now to screen. and a lot of people aren't travelling to the festivals overseas. How important is it for Spiro to jump on a plane and get to these festivals? Because it's networking and it's that talking and having an understanding of the rest of the festivals that are happening around the world, isn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It is very important that, you know, as part of our approach to be fresh and also to be innovative and to remain relevant and connected, that, you know, we do go out there to other parts of the world to ensure that we, you know, we connect. That we network, as you say, and that we know, you know, we're able to source offerings here and, you know, be able to provide them, you know, to our audiences that may not be able to get them, you know, otherwise. I do know Spiro travelled last year to the LA, to LA or California, somewhere around that area to attend a festival, you know, there. And, you know, there's definitely plans to, you know, send him again in the times ahead, or discussions of that. I think it's, you know, completely relevant and very important.
Yeah. And what about local filmmakers? How do you engage them?
Yeah, local filmmakers and talent is, you know, crucially important. I'm happy to report that, you know, we do support them through the offerings that we do have throughout the festival. So we run, you know, workshops. There's an industry day that we'll have there as well. We'll also be giving out City of Melbourne awards to some of the, you know, some of the shorts creators and directors and so forth. It's very important that we continue to encourage and nurture local talent, notwithstanding the terrific offerings that come from overseas. But as you point out, there's, you know, local talent as well that are very, very important to us, and we're working closely with them.
Yeah, and yeah, like there could be the next amazing writer-director, you know, like sitting here in Australia, and this is a great opportunity, and because so many now are going overseas and making big names for themselves after they've, you know, had nice little baby starts here in Australia.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It almost, you remind me of the analogy in sport in many ways, the sort of, you know, start, make their mark here, and then they, you know, really, you know, spread their wings, whether it be over in, you know, Europe or,
yep,
or you know, the UK or US or,
yeah,
or whatever the like. So, you know, it's important we keep providing those opportunities so people can continue to develop and, you know, and grow.
What about sponsorship? You know, like the ugly thing rears its head, and you can't move in within a festival like this without the support of sponsors. Has it been a tough year? Because you've only arrived here fairly late in the piece, and it's March that it's on. Have you locked down all your sponsors at this stage?
Well, let me just say, I hope the old adage rings true, and that's that success usually comes to those who are too busy to be looking for it. So that definitely better be the case. But no, look, no, we have signed up quite a number of re-signed up quite a number of sponsors from last year. I mean, this last week and lead up to Christmas is going to be quite hectic. So, you know, watch this space. I might have even less here left from what I've got at the moment. But no, look, we are very thankful for, you know, all the sponsors, every one of them. Particularly, many of them have been around for a number of years. So, you know, can't thank them enough. We have a lot of them, you know, locked up. We're also in the process of just crossing the T's and dotting the I's with, you know, some of the remaining ones. But if there are others that, you know, wish to have an opportunity to sign on, it's, you know, not too late yet, or even to advertise next year, by all means, you know,
yeah,
you can reach out.
So when is your cutoff date? You know, if somebody's out there that's a sponsor that would like to maybe jump on board, you know, because you have to get your program sorted, don't you?
Yeah, no, look, absolutely. If, you know, there were any potential sponsors out there that were interested, if you could contact me this week, that would be absolutely terrific. So
yeah,
you know, I mean, despite the fact the office will be closed, I'll be doing some work, you know, off-site in the you know, in the, well, it's not really downtime over the Christmas period because there'll be a lot going on, but you know, if you wanted to reach out the next week, I'd be, you know, happy to have discussions.
Yeah. So at Midsummer Carnival Day, you always have a presence there, and that's where a lot of people sign up to members. And membership is an important part, like it is at Joy. You know, like, so you encourage people to sign up as a member, and then you get discounts when the festival's on too, don't you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Look, you know, membership, likewise, as sponsorship, is a very important, you know, way that MQFF does connect with the audience. So, you know, members have a special relationship with us. You know, they get newsletters, they get, you know, discounts. There's other way. There's, you know, member-only screenings throughout the year that we do offer. So, you know, we encourage anyone to sort of sign up and be a part of it, be, you know, the first to know when things occur and, you know, the ability to engage at a higher level than, you know, an ordinary punter that sort of comes in.
Yeah.
One thing you guys will have to teach me is lots of analogies for film, because I've got lots of sporting ones. I keep using those. They're fine, but you'll have to let me as you go along.
And volunteers, you're always looking for new volunteers. You were saying you've got a band of excellent people, but you must always need new ones.
Oh, absolutely. And we've just actually sent out the call serendipitously. I'm glad. Oh. Thank you for asking. We you know, just sent out the call in recent times in our EDM or newsletter that's gone out to our database. So you know, recalling all of those that have you know, worked with us in previous years, but also, you know, new people who would like to you know, get involved as well. And you know, there's always definitely opportunities.
Yeah, and especially for a lot of people who are studying film at unis here in Melbourne right now, it's a great opportunity for them to sort of get a foot in and look, we always know that they're busy, you know, like working a part-time job or, you know, like studying, but you can't do anything more sensible than being part of a film festival if film is what you're studying.
Oh, no, absolutely. And, you know, it's great experience. There's, you know, opportunities, whether it be in the office to, you know, do some administrative work, whether it be, you know, operational when the actual film is, you know, is going, to just being back of house and appreciating the intricacies of the way, you know, things occur. And I suppose it's not just necessarily, and while we do, you know, very much encourage those who have an appreciation and love for film, but it's also those who, I suppose, you know, maybe just generally interested to contribute to the community or, you know, to get involved, generally speaking. I think film's a, you know, like it was for me in sport, a terrific way of getting involved. And I suppose, I mean, you could use myself there as a, you know, as an example of someone who appreciates and loves, you know, the offerings of film from a sociological perspective. I'm not going to pretend I'm a film buff, you know, to the extent of, you know, many others.
Yeah.
You know, are there as well, but, you know, having, you know, found the love for it there. Yeah. And, you know, I mentioned him earlier on, I think, you know, my previous partner, Chris Bernane, for encouraging me and nurturing, you know, the love of the arts and film and the like there. There's, you know, definitely opportunities for people to, you know, to connect.
Well, there are so many Joy volunteers, which we are, that also volunteer with Queer Film Festival as well. So, you know, when I go there, there's often, you know, the people handing me a brochure or whatever and going, you
know. Okay, so I'll take that. You're on air and everyone's heard this. You're definitely coming, David.
Oh,
you signed up.
Always go to and it's one, it's such a highlight on our calendar, mm-hmm. our community's calendar, you know, like that opening night is one of the best nights ever. Have you been to one?
No, I actually have not been to an opening night myself, so I'm very much looking forward to it. The first time I'll get there is actually when I'm running it. So
yeah,
I'm excited, I can assure you.
Well, sometimes the films, you know, like any film festival, you know, like it's either brilliant or it's just okay or whatever, but it's just the vibe of everyone being there on the night and the party afterwards. It's and I love a party, so therefore it's a great party, and that's what happens all through the festival, is that people go and see a film and then they go to the bar in between, mm-hmm. and have a drink and then wait till the next film or just catch up with friends and have a chat. And again, that's supporting the festival by doing that as well.
Yeah, no, look, it's a highlight for us. There'll be, you know, over 500 plus in attendance, as there has been in, you know, in previous years. It's,
yep.
There's a real pulse, you know, that runs through it. You can, you know, I can definitely tell just by speaking to people who've been there in the past, but also in terms of organising it with, you know, with ACME at Federation Square there, who's, you know, been great supporters of the festival over the, you know, over the years. Mm. You can tell, you know, they probably have just as much, you know, enjoyment and satisfaction putting it on as we actually do.
Yep.
You know, staging it ourselves.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you, it'll be the first time for me there as well. So, anyone else out there who hasn't been, you know, please definitely come.
We can
come as the first
absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely.
So I was going to say, so if you were talking about the volunteers and members. Now, if people out, our listeners want to become members to MQFF or are looking at or interested in volunteering, where should they go? Is it best to go to your website?
Yeah, no, absolutely. If anyone's interested, in volunteering or becoming a member, or if there's a, sponsor out there, there's the website, which is, am I allowed to say it on air? www.mqff.com.au. Please definitely, go there and you'll find the requisite, contact details. And I'm also very excited to say that we'll be launching a fantastic new website early in the new year. So
brilliant.
Watch this space. It's going to be absolutely terrific. And the user, it's really been built with the user experience in mind.
Yeah.
So we can't wait to launch that. It's very exciting stuff.
Fantastic. And of course, the arts program, like a lot of shows on Joy, will be talking film festival as it gets closer as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. By that time, next time, I'm expecting you to grill me about the intricacies of the film, so I'll definitely rush up before then.
I think we will next time, Max.
Okay, so absolutely fine.
Warning
there. No, don't worry about that. Maybe I must bring Spiro as well. I'll just handball it to him. There you go. There's the sport analogy.
Boom. So, Maxwell, thank you so much for coming in today, because it's nice to get a perspective on somebody that's, like executive director, like in a new role for an organisation that is so dear to our hearts, our community's hearts. So all the very best with your new role, and can't wait for the festival to start.
No, I can't. I can't thank you enough, and I look forward to seeing everyone there in 2018.
Right. And what's the dates again?
So the festival will be between the 15th and the 26th of March 2018, and we'll also have the festival launch on the 13th of February next year. So
brilliant.
Quite a lot going on.
Yep. Okay. Thanks so much for coming in.
Cheers. Oh, thank you.
Here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.